الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today is the 9th of Jumad al-Awwal 1433, which corresponds to the 31st of March 2012. Tonight is a Saturday, and we continue with our discussion on the fantastic book العقيدة الوسطية لشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى. And interestingly enough, we are at a very, يعني, let's say, at a particular milestone in the book where we're dealing with very sensitive issues, which you will see soon, inshallah. We stopped at the following paragraph, which we did not initiate the discussion on, which is the statement of Sheikh bin Uthaymeen alayhi rahmatullah. وَكَذَلِكَ فِي الْمُنْكَرِ لَوْ كَانَ إِذَا نُهِيَ هَذَا الْمُنْكَرِ تَحَوَّلَ الْفَاعِلُ لَهُ إِلَى فِعْلِ مُنْكَرْ أَعْظَمْ. So, similarly, we were discussing the issue of the Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy an al Munkar, the context, the weighing, the benefits and the harms, when you should do it, when you should leave it alone, things of this sort. Similarly, in the munkar, لو كان إذا نوع, if it were to be prohibited, if that particular evil which you saw, if you were to prohibit it and prevent it, this will lead the doer, to being the person or the doer of a greater munkar. Greater munkar. فإنه في هذه الحال لا يجوز أن ينهى عن المنكر. Then in this case, it becomes prohibited to forbid the evil. Here's a very important principle which is known in Islam, in usul, دَفْعًا لِأَعْلَى الْمَفْسَدَتَيْنِ بِأَدْنَاهُمَا. In order to prevent, in order to prevent the greater among the two evils with the lesser one. You prevent two evils, Two evils. One is higher than the other. One is higher than the other. And if you're gonna prohibit an evil which will raise us to the high one, no, you stick to the lesser one because you want the lesser one versus the higher one. You don't want to get the bigger evil because your whole objective is to forbid the evil. So if you forbid the evil and you bring a greater evil, you haven't done much, You haven't done much. In fact, you've made matters worse. So these things have to be understood in that particular light. Now there's an evidence for that. Shouldn't there be? Of course there is. وَيَدُلُّ لِهَذَا قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى أَوْ عَفْوًا قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى وَيَدُلُّ لِهَذَا لِهَذَا جَارٌ مَجْرُورٌ. And here the fa'il is قَوْلُهُ. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ. The ayah is not completed, I think. علم صحيح. Do not verbally abuse those whom they call on besides Allah, so that they do not wind up verbally abusing Allah wrongfully, يعني, out of enmity, out of animosity, بغير علم, without knowledge. So Allah is saying, look, in reality, if you see someone, if you walk by someone worshipping Buddha, Islamically, you have the right to say, what is wrong with you worshipping this stupid idol? This dumb, homemade statue. You could, Islamically. There's no harm in cursing out. This is a false god. It's worthless. I can smack it. I can kick it. You cannot do anything. But if doing so is going to make him say something similar about Allah, then Allah said, do not do that anymore. Not because it is impermissible to curse out their false gods. It is permissible. Because Allah did it. And Ibrahim did it. And all these, it was done by the Prophet. But if that's going to lead for Allah to be, attacked in this sense, not that anyone can harm him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah said, do not do so in order for them not to do that. So you see, now you have two evils, or two, you'd commit the lesser one. The lesser evil is that you remain silent when there are false gods. The lesser evil is that you don't forbid the evil when somebody's doing shirk. But if you doing that is going to cause them to curse Allah Azza wa Jal, you no longer say anything. Is that clear? The Shaykh will explain. فَإِنَّ سَبَّ أَلِهَةَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ لَا شَكَنَّهُ أَمْرٌ مَطْلُوبٌ. Look what the Shaykh said. Cursing out the false gods of the mushrikeen, there's no doubt it's something which is expected. Matloob is demanded, actually. Demanded. It's on demand. لكن لما كان يترتب عليه أمر محظور, but whenever, because there's a sin, something which is sinful, something which is wrong, something which is wrongful, is a byproduct of it, huh? أعظم أمر محظور أعظم من المصلحة التي تكون بسبب آلهة المشركين. And that evil, that wrong, is greater than the benefit of cursing out the false gods of the mushrikeen, وهو سبهم لله, and which is basically them cursing out Allah Azza wa Jal, عدوا بغير علم, out of enmity, without knowledge. نهى الله عن سب آلهة المشركين في هذه الحال. Allah forbid that you curse him out in this condition. In this particular condition. If you know that he will not do that, then you go ahead and do it. But of course, you have to see whether that would be wise. It may not be wise per da'wah. So, I mean, this is not an open invitation where every time you see someone, you go and you curse them out. That may not be successful da'wah. And in principle, it is allowed. But then every situation requires a different mode of behavior and statements. So we have to be mindful of that. The Shaykh said, وَلَوْ وَجَدْنَا رَجُلًا يَشْرَبُ الْخَمْرِ. Listen to this example. If we were to see a man drinking alcohol, intoxicants. Say intoxicants. Khabr is actually intoxicants. وَشُرْبُ الْخَمْرِ مَعْرُوفُ وَلَّا مُنْكَرُ. شُرْبُ الْخَمْرِ مَعْرُوفُ وَلَّا مُنْكَرُ. Munkar. قَوْلًا وَاحِدًا. قَوْلًا وَاحِدًا is no difference of opinion. فلو نهيناه عن شربه لذهب يسرق أموال الناس ويستحل أعراضهم فهذا لا ننهاه عن شرب الخمر لأنه يترتب عليه مفسد أعظم. This man is a drunkard, and it is known, right, when he's in a state of drunkenness, he's غبي, he's dumb. He's just going around singing by himself, drinking his alcohol, sitting at the beach enjoying the seat. When he's not in a state of drunkenness, some of you like, you're describing my life before Islam. When he's not in a state of drunkenness, he's a criminal. He's a criminal. He is known for robberies and killing people, whatever. The Shaykh said, if drinking alcohol is forbidden, intoxicants. But if this particular individual, if we were to prevent him from drinking alcohol, he would go and rob people's wealth, huh? And he will rape their women. And he will make lawful what is unlawful. We don't prevent him from drinking alcohol. Huh? Because there's a greater harm. Leave him. Leave him. It is known if he's sober, he is going to commit a crime to make money. Khalli. Let him stay drunk. You understand the principle? Tayyib, I hope. Ash-shartu sadis. That was the fifth condition, by the way, we're dealing with. Today is the sixth condition right now. أن يكون هذا الآمر أو الناهي قائما بما يأمر به منتهيا عما ينهى عنه. Again, there's some typo here or some words missing. Otherwise, the sentence doesn't make sense. منتهيا عنه, no, doesn't make sense. The sixth condition is that the one who is enjoining, the enjoiner and the forbidder, must be establishing in himself that which he is enjoining and that which he is forbidding. Huh? He must be acting upon it first. Ah, well, we'll see. Time out. The Shaykh said, وَهَذَا عَلَى رَأِي بَعْضِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. However, this is according to the opinion of some of the scholars. فَإِنْ كَانَ غَيْرُ قَائِمٌ بِذَلِكِ أو أي قائم بذلك إن كان غير قائم بذلك فإنه لا يأمر بالمعروف ولا ينهى عن المنكر. According to them, if he's not establishing that in himself, he neither enjoins what is good nor does he forbid what is evil. لأن الله تعالى قال لبني إسرائيل أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تترون الكتاب أفلا تعقلون. Do you enjoin upon people righteousness? And you forget about yourselves while you are reading the book, the scripture. Do you not reason? Do you not understand? Do you not comprehend? فإن كان هذا الرجل لا يصلي فلا يأمر غيره بالصلاة. If the man doesn't pray, he doesn't command others to pray. وإن كان يشرب الخمر, if he drinks intoxicants, فلا ينهى غيره عنها. He does not forbid others from doing so. ولهذا قال الشاعر, one of the poets said, لا تنهى عن خلق وتأتي مثله, عار عليك إذا فعلت عظيمه. Do not prohibit a particular character while you yourself have it in you. Doing so indeed is a great shame upon you. طيب. But time for the surprise. جمهور العلماء is against that. Huh? The جمهور, when we say the جمهور, meaning the vast majority of the scholars, usually 3 out of the 4 madhahib, besides the other ulama, usually 3 out of the 4 will be against that. وقالوا, they say, this is the part we need to understand. Otherwise, if we were all to apply this first rule, nobody's going to do it, Jack. Huh? We're all going to be looking at each other. Well, brother, why don't you say anything? Well, well, it seems that you're not doing this yourself. Can we change the subject, please? Huh? We'd be burnt out, man. Nobody may be able to do anything. So, alhamdulillah, it's not the case. It's not. That doesn't mean we get happy with it. I mean, we'll see. We'll see. There are some technicalities to this. Some people get excited. Say, yalla, that I leave everything and do everything, then go tell people about it. No. No. There are limits and there are hadith which are very scary. And ayat about the one who says and doesn't do. Except that which happens out of weakness and sinfulness, not the one where you're nonchalant. We will see. I mean, I've discussed this in lectures before. طيب, listen now. وَقَالُوا يَجِبُ أَنْ يَأْمُرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَإِنْ كَانَ لَا يَأْتِي. They say he must enjoin the good even if he doesn't do it. وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَإِنْ كَانَ يَأْتِي. And he must forbid the evil even if he does it. وَإِنَّمَا وَبَّخَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. Allah only reprimanded Bani Israel, لَا عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِمْ بِالْبِرِّ, not because they enjoined the good, وَلَكِنْ عَلَىٰ جَمْعِهِمْ بَيْنَ الْأَمْرِ بِالْبِرِّ وَنِسْيَانِ النَّفْسِ, but because they brought a relation between enjoining the good and forgetting themselves. Forgetting themselves. Not that they fell into it, but they totally forgot. They were not even concerned about themselves. All they worried about is the people. Even though they're going down the drain, they're still telling the people. Huh? Compare that to someone who may have fallen into a sin that he told the people not to do, but he didn't forget. He repented to Allah. He felt guilty. He struggles with himself. You see the fine line. Huh? By the way, the lecture changed. This coming Monday, if it's going to be this coming Monday, it's no longer the fine line. It's going to be titled "The Helpless Slave of Allah." The helpless slave of Allah. The fine line will be later, because the fine line is going to be a bomb, inshallah. A major bomb. But we hope that no one goes as a casualty. Nothing, you know. But you know, Allah musta'an, if it's going to happen, it's going to be onesome, because you know, we got into really, really some really sensitive issues there. But Allah musta'an. Ala kulli hal, wa hadha al-qawl huwa sahih. Shaykh bin al-Thameen says, this opinion, this statement is the sound one. What does sound mean? Sound?
Approved.
Approved?
Like,
correct. Simplify. Correct. You have to know these words because you may hear the hadith is sound. The statement is sound. Say, what is sound, man? Sound system? No. Sound as in correct. English language is a weird language. فنقول أنت الآن مأمور بأمرين. Listen to this fiqh now of the Shaykh رحمه الله. You are commanded with two things. Huh? الأول فعل البر. The first thing you commanded is what? Doing righteousness. والثاني الأمر بالبر. And the second thing is enjoining righteousness, commanding righteousness. So you have to do it in yourself and you have to establish it upon others. منهي عن أمرين. And you have been prohibited and forbidden from two things. فعل المنكر, doing the munkar. والثاني ترك النهي عن فعله. And secondly, وَمَنْهِيٌ أَيْوَى, leave, abandoning, forbidding others. Huh? Abandoning others from doing it. You're supposed to leave the evil, stop people from doing it. The first thing, you're supposed to do good and command the people to do it. فلا تجمع بين ترك مأمورين وفعل المنهيين. الله أكبر. Don't you bring a relation between abandoning the two things which you were commanded about or doing the two things which you were forbidden. Which means, you're commanded with two things. Doing righteousness, commanding righteousness. If you didn't do righteousness, and you didn't command righteousness, you failed how many times? Twice. Huh? If you didn't do righteousness, but you commanded righteousness, how many times you failed?
One.
Alhamdulillah. It's a better deal. In fact, that righteousness which you command may be the one that will save you from Jahannam. Because the hadith says, "Man da'a ila huda, kana lahu min al-ajri mithlu ujuri man tabi'ahu, la yanqusu dhalika min ujurihim shay'a." Hadith Muslim. Once you call people to guidance, huh, you will get an equal reward. You could tell the people about Qiyamul Layl, Qiyamul Layl, make it all anxious about Qiyamul Layl, and you're sleeping all night. طيب. And all these people get excited, they do Qiyamul Layl. It's a new book of deeds, ya Sheikh. So, see the principle? Now, it doesn't mean that you deliberately do that. Because some people love these kind of, you know, concessions, man. Said, yes, I've been waiting for this all my life. Ha! You know, that's what, alaykum salam. So you have to be careful. Alaykum salam, marhaban. You have to be very careful from the tricks of the shaitan. Huh? This is not an endorsement for you to tell the people and drop it yourself. Is that clear? Seriously? Okay, so, do not then miss out on two commandments, nor commit two forbidden acts. You were supposed to forbid yourself from munkar. Leave alone the munkar. You failed. You saw others doing munkar. If you don't do it, you have failed how many times? Twice. Same thing. If you failed within yourself, do tawbah, do istighfar, return to the path. But when you see others do it, stop them. Stop them. Otherwise, you have failed twice. And failing twice is no good, and missing out on that is no good. On doing the good twice is no good. That's a very adequate, rational explanation. As long as the element of negligence is taken into consideration. Huh? Be careful of the shaitan trying to seduce people because of that. So that the person really becomes someone who calls everyone to goodness and he does none of it himself, and he forbids all kinds of evil and he doesn't do anything, he doesn't stop it himself. It's more like someone smoking a cigarette, see someone smoking a cigarette. Stop smoking, man. It's like you're smoking yourself. I say, oh yeah, okay. So that is foolish now. But if someone has been struggling to quit smoking, but his nicotine is in his blood and he's going through the face, and he sees his son smoking, according to the first principle, he should shut up and let his son smoke, because there's okay, you're smoking, so why are you telling me? Say no. You forbid the evil there and you struggle with yourself. You struggle with yourself. That is according to the Jumhur al-Ulama in regards to Al-Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar. And Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah gave us a very logical explanation. فَلَا تَجْمَعْ بَيْنَ تَرْكِ مَأْمُورَيْنِ بَيْنَ تَرْكِ الْمَأْمُورَيْنِ وَفِعْلِ الْمَنْهِيَيْنِ. Don't bring a relation between abandoning that the two commandments here, not the ten commandments of the Christians, the two commandments and the two prohibitions. فَإِنْ تَرَكَ أَحَدَهُمَا لَا يَسْتَلْزِمْ سُقُوطَ الْآخَرِ. If he abandons one of them, does not necessitate that the other one falls apart and has no more weight or value. فَهَذِهِ سِتَّةُ شُرُوطٍ. So we have dealt with six conditions for al-amr bil ma'roof wa nahy anil munkar. Minha arba'atun lil jawaz. Four are for permissibility. Wa min al-awwal wa thani wa hunna al-awwal wa thani wa thalith wa al-khamis. And the conditions from these six are the first, the second, the third and the fifth. Fala tafsila fi. There's no need to elaborate on that. There's no further elaboration. It's clear cut like the sun. Wa thnan lil wujub. And two, jawaz meaning permissibility. Wujub, wajib,
compulsory.
Tab fard? Wallah. So there's a difference between obligatory and compulsory. Well, there is, according to some of the ulama, they do make a distinction between fard and wajib. But in English, I don't know if that actually has a, like compulsory is for wajib and obligatory for fard. Allahu alam, if there's actually in the English language a variation between these two terms. They are usually used interchangeably. They say compulsory, obligatory, meaning it's, you know, the same thing. على كل حال واثنان للوجوب وهما الرابع والسادس على خلاف فيهن. While there's a difference of opinion in regards to them. ولا يشترط أن لا يكون من أصول الآمر أو النهي كأبيه أو أمه أو جده أو جدته. بل ربما نقول إن هذا يتأكد أكثر. And there isn't a condition that from the fundamentals of enjoining, the one enjoining, the enjoiner and the forbidder, is that he is like his father or his mother or his grandfather or his grandmother. Rather, we could say, إِنَّ هَذَا يَتَأَكَّدْ أَكْثَرْ. Meaning, if they are related to you, it becomes what? Less important or more important?
More.
Evidence. وَأَنْدِرْ عَشِرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. Excellent. Another one. يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا. So Allah begin with yourself, then أهليكم, the relatives, those around you, and of course the wife and the kids first, and the parents and so forth, as they go in the relations, the blood relations, that is vast. But so these are the priority. You begin with those, and we must know the evidences for what we say. لأن من بر الوالدين أن ينهاهما عن فعل المعاصي ويأمرهما بفعل الطاعات. It falls under dutifulness to the parents. It's a form of dutifulness to one's parents to prohibit them from doing evil deeds and to command them to do good deeds. The question which arises is, how do you do so? How do you speak to your father? Because some people fall into the trap of the shaitan. When they were misguided for many years, Allah guides them. Then suddenly his whole family is shayateen. Huh? He comes home, his father's shaitan, his mother's shaitan. He starts issuing commands. Like, you know, he's a prophet. And he said, you know this, and you say, hey, you need to slow down, man. Even if Allah has guided you and you know that they're Sufis or they're on some other stuff, but you're not going to successfully bring him to your way with this particular behavior. This is besides the fact that this will lead you to Jahannam, end of story. This is not the way to deal with the parents. And we will see how Ibrahim spoke to his father, who was among the leaders of the mushrikeen. Huh? But he spoke to them in the kindest words, Ya Abati. And we will see what the Shaykh will say regarding that. So there's actually a manner in which you address the parents. And you have to be very delicate. Always make it seem like you are learning, not educating. You're learning, but you kind of bring in the information in a slick way so that you're trying to inquire while you're actually trying to teach. So because in the parents' mind, you were a baby a few years ago, I was changing your diaper. And now you're going to come and tell me about ABC. This is the standard parents' state of mind. They just can't take it. They cannot take it, and sometimes it's ego or other reasons that they know you're right and they're wrong, but how can I learn from my son or from my daughter? So this you have to have, and you understand the mentality and the psyche of the people, so you give da'wah accordingly. So the way you deal with your friend is not the way you deal with your father. There must be a whole other way of approaching that. The Shaykh will give us some classic examples. قَدْ يَكُولْ أَنَا إِذَا نَهَيْتُ أَبِي غَضِبَ عَلَيْهِ. One may say, but my father, I mean, if I try to prevent him from doing this evil deed, he will become angry with me. وَزَعِلْ. And he will be upset. وَهَجَرَنِي. And he may even abandon me, forsake me, boycott me. فَمَاذَا أَصْنَعْ. What shall I do? نَقُولْ إِصْبِرْ. What does إِصْبِرْ mean? Sabur? Wait. No, wait, guys. Brahim's classic. Let's give us one of these, Brahim. Asbir Sabur? Huh? Shu Allahu alam, ya Sheikh.
I don't
seem to Sabur. I mean, this all comes from Sabur. But I'm trying to get what form, what part of speech is it? Is it a verb? Is it a noun? Is it an adjective? It's Amr. Yes, it's Amr. What is Amr in English?
Command.
Okay, but what do we call this kind of sentence where you give commands?
Order.
We have declarative sentences. The sun is nice. The sun is hot. We have interrogative. How are you? Now we have exclamatory. You know, this is amazing. And then we have imperative, where you're giving commands. Of course, when it comes to Allah Azza wa Jal, we don't give commands, we make requests. It still falls under imperative sentences, but we say, Allahumma ahdini. You cannot say this as a command now, even though you're saying, ihdina al-sirat al-mustaqim. You're using the same kind of tense, but you have to now modify your English words. So they say, I'm commanding. No, you're not commanding Allah. You're requesting from Allah humbly. And you know, Allah promised that He will reply and give you that. اصبر على هذا الذي ينالك بغضب أبيك وهجره. Be patient in regards to that which will afflict you, in regards to the anger of your father and his abandonment. والعاقبة للمتقين. You hear this often in خطبة الجمعة. صحيح? What does it mean?
Good ending is for the pious.
أيوة. Can someone give us an ayah where this occurs? I don't know if I remember. I have an ayah, man. I don't know if it's this one. وأمر أهلك بالصلاة واصطبر عليها. أيوة. لا نسألك رزقا نحن نرزقك والعاقبة للمتقين.
للتقوى.
Oh, then there's another one.
Yes, that is in the, like, you know, the two sons of Adam, the one who killed the other one. It's over there.
And is it in Surah Yusuf also?
No, it's not in Surah Yusuf.
No. The other is, does it also come in Surah Yusuf?
That one is that is Taha, the one which we just like, you know.
Right. And the one of على كل حال. على كل حال. والعاقبة للمتقين. It occurs more than once. Yes. Anyways, this is when you're having these modern phones, you know, they have the Quran application. If it didn't waste time, we can actually put in the search العاقبة للمتقين, and it will pull out all the places where that occurs in the Book of Allah. But from what I remember, it occurs more than once. طب جيد. واتبع ملة أبيك إبراهيم عليه السلام. Be patient and know that the good end is for the righteous and the pious, and follow the way, the methodology, the creed of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. حيث عاتب أباه على الشرك. عاتب, what does عاتب mean? عتاب. No. Itab is. I'll give you an example. From Ataba, Yu'atibu, Ataba. For example, brother, where have you been, man? How come we haven't seen you? Huh? Don't do this again. Keep coming to the classes. It's like a form of reprimand. It's a form of reprimand, but there's a better word in English which is not coming to my mind right now. No. Condone, not even condone. But anyways, it's that idea. Itab is like to make someone feel guilty about their error. Huh? To kind of try to revive their feelings and emotions by saying words which will kind of, you know, make him realize that they were mistaken. That's itab.
In a polite manner, yes.
In a polite manner, ahsant. And that's why I'm looking for a word other than reprimand, because reprimand may be a little violent sometimes. فَقَالَ يَا أَبَتِي. Now Ibrahim said to his father, this is in the Quran. يَا أَبَتِ لِمَا تَعْبُدُ مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ وَلَا يُبُصِرُ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا. My father. وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا. My father. يَا أَبَتِ. No, it should be يَا أَبِي. It could be يَا أَبِي. But يَا أَبَتِ is softer. More respectful. More consideration to the rights of fatherhood. Why? See, he asked him, why are you worshipping that which hears not, nor does it see, nor does it prevent anything from you, nor can it prevent anything which will afflict you. إلى أن قال, until he said, and you, this is in Surah Taha, right? Surah Maryam, Jazakallah khair. يا أبتي لا تعبد الشيطان إن الشيطان كان للرحمن عصية. My father, hello father, however you want to put it in English, you know, my dear father, do not worship shaitan. Verily ever the shaitan was to the most merciful, disobedient. يا أبتي إني أخاف أن يمسك عذاب من الرحمن فتكون للشيطان وليا. My father, I'm afraid. I fear for you that some punishment from the most merciful will afflict you, so that you will become an ally, a friend with the shaitan. Because of that, because the shaitan will get that punishment. And what did Abu, what did his father say? What did his father say? Huh? Ay Abu, the Sheikh said, قال أي أبو أراغب أنت عن آلهتي يا إبراهيم لئن لم تنتهي لأرجمنك واهجرني مليا. He said, do you seek a God other than my God, O Ibrahim? If you don't resist, if you don't desist from what you're doing, لأرجمنك, I shall stone you. واهجرني مليا, and abandon me forever. Some of the ulama say Maliyah is a long, long time, or in other words, forever, meaning don't ever let me see you again. وقال إبراهيم أيضا لأبي آزر أتتخذ أصناما آلهة إني أراك وقومك في ضلال مبين. In another occasion he said, do you take these idols as objects of worship? Verily I see that you and your people are in manifest error. So he went through phases with his father. He went through phases. At the end he declared his innocence from his father, said, I got nothing to do with you. Because he already knew, Allah informed him that he will not believe. تَبَرَّأَ مِنْهِ, he declared his innocence from him. You know, and because before he had made dua, وَاخْفِرْ لِأَبِي إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الضَّالِينَ, forgive my father, he was among the misguided. Then Allah informed him it's not going to happen. And so he abandoned him completely. So we have an example in Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. So that doesn't mean, or that means that we know, we do not abandon the nasiha, huh? And the enjoining the good and forbidding the evil towards our parents and family because they are parents. We just have to find the correct way and the correct methodology and the good words to say. Be selective in our choice of words. But it doesn't mean that we don't tell them. It's a right which they have over us. In fact, one of the biggest rights that they have over us. قوله, now this is the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله, وَيَرَوْنَ إِقَامَةَ الْحَجِّ والجهاد والجمع أو الجمع عفوا والجمع والأعياد مع الأمراء أبرارا كانوا أو فجارا. Now we're going to come to an issue where أهل السنة والجماعة differ with pretty much everybody else, and you will see why. أهل السنة والجماعة, they see that it is right to establish Hajj and jihad, fighting in Allah's cause. والجمع, الجمع is a plural of جمعة, the Fridays. والأعياد, and أعياد, the Eids, huh? That's a good translation. مع الأمراء, with the princes, as in a plural for prince, not princess. Okay? أبرارا كانوا أو فجارا, irrespective of whether they are righteous or they are corrupt. If he's an Amir, he is in charge. Allah decreed that he is in charge. You do Hajj with him. You pray Jumu'ah behind him. You go fight with him if he calls you to fight with him. You establish Eid behind him, regardless of whether he is righteous or not. Because you will see many people today, especially the YouTube commentators, who don't know anything about the deen except what they have learned from these few lectures they see from deviant people. They come and say, blah, 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 and they give you all kinds of comments that all these rulers are kuffar. They do wholesale takfir because of one thing that, they show you a picture of one of the princes with having a walima, and they have this huge plate of, kapsa, rice and chicken. This became the crime of the century now. And takfir, wa ya akhi, the guy got money. You want him to eat a 2 riyal sandwich? The guy's got money, he's going to eat according to his standards. So this is khawarij mentality. He must be this, he must be that, they must be kuffar because they did A or they did B. They have to take it easy now. We're not being here like the murji'a, who claim that, nothing will affect your iman, you can do all kinds of kuffar, we still say you're a believer. No, there's a balance, which is the balance of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Neither khawarij nor murji'a. And of course, go back to the audio classes, you can hear the difference between a khawarij and a murji'a, because we elaborated on that extensively. The Shaykh said, Al-Abrar jam'u bar. Because it could be bir, and it could be bur, and it could be bar. Here, bar is an adjective for a righteous person. Huh? Barran. Bar, someone, shakhs who's bar, or bar. They use both. Someone who's righteous. طيب. Bir is righteousness, for example. Bir, with the kasra on the ba. وهو كثير الطاعة, one who is has abundance in obedience, or a lot of obedience. والفجار جمع فاجر, فجار is the jama' of fajir, wa huwa al-'asi kathir al-ma'siyah, the word disobedient who is indulged in disobedience. Yani not the average sinner, he's high caliber, high standard of sin, wal 'iyadhu billah. Fa ahl as-sunnati rahimahumullah yukhalifuna ahl al-bid'ah tamaman. Ahl as-sunnah, may Allah have mercy on them, they oppose ahl al-bid'ah completely. فيرون إقامة الحج مع الأمير وإن كان من أفسق عباد الله من أفسق عباد الله عفوا. They see the doing Hajj behind the Amir even if he was the most corrupt among the slaves of Allah. Corrupt among who? Among who? Muslims. Hey, you don't bring a Jew, say Allah is a, go do Hajj with a Jew. La 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 Habibi, we're speaking about a Muslim. He could be the worst Muslim. Everybody doing Hajj behind him is better than him. He's a Muslim. Zip it and do Hajj. Because if you were to do otherwise, we will see what kind of consequences they will have. وَكَانَ النَّاسِ فِي مَا سَبَقْ يَجْعَلُونَ عَلَى الْحَجِّ أَمِيرًا. People in previous times, they would never go for Hajj except with an Amir. A single Amir. Who would lead, not the mutawifin that we have today. Someone you hire with fulus, and he's the one who screams around the Kaaba, and everybody who doesn't know anything about what he's saying, they just say Ameen, or they repeat after him, bothering the people during the tawaf. You're raising their voice in the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, distracting the people. I mean, you go in there trying to make dua, and someone's screaming over your ear, and he's got 20 people behind him, you know what he says, Allahumma, Allahumma, Hadina, Hadina, ya boy! Ya boy, go take a rent a room in the hotel and go make dua over there. Are people trying to pray over here? What is this man? And you try to speak to them, they look at you like they think, okay, Wahhabi in Saudi. Of course they're going to tell us not to do this, man. So they will ignore you. They will ignore you, say, ah, just this the kid. Leave it alone. But this is haram. According to the ulama, this is haram because you're distracting the people from their ibadah. Anyways, the Amir was something else. It was an Amir in charge of the whole ummah because back then there was unity. كما جعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أبا بكر رضي الله عنه أميرا على الحج في العام التاسع من الهجرة. Like the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام assigned Abu Bakr to be the Amir on that campaign, that Hajj campaign on the 9th year of Hijrah. وما زال الناس على ذلك. People continue to be upon that methodology. يجعلون للحج أميرا قائدا يدفعون بدفعه ويقفون بوقفه. The people would assign one Amir, and they would leave when he leaves, and they would stand when he stands. In Arafat, and when he would go from Muzdalifah, all the places, they were going with the Amir. وَهَذَا هُوَ الْمَشْرُوعِ. And this is what is legislated. لِأَنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ يَحْتَاجُونَ إِلَىٰ إِمَامٍ يَقْتَدُونَ بِهِ. The Muslims need an Imam whom they follow. They take as an example. أما كون كل إنسان أو كل إنسان على رأسه فإنه يحصل به فوضى واختلاف. If everyone was in charge of himself, then there will be chaos and differing. That's why if there are three people and they're traveling, one has to be an Amir. Otherwise, and some people really take these matters seriously. I want bake, well, I want tazaj, and I want this. And they will starve for 2 hours because nobody's willing to give up, where we eat. If you had an Amir, say, we're having bake, end of story. And you just have to obey the Amir. And now I'm giving you an example. People differ on critical issues. Now this is food. Usually, because people love food so much, no one's going to differ. Say, whatever you bring, we're going to eat. But in other matters, some, there could be a serious difference between the people that will cause division. No, one Amir and he has to be obeyed. As long as he tells you to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course. If he commands you to disobey Allah, لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. But there must be a leadership. Just like any business, there must be a manager. If all employees were, self-employed bosses, no one will come on time, no one will leave on time, no job will be done. There must be someone making sure people are doing their job. Hopefully you are that one. نعم. Where was I? فإن يحصل بهم فهم يرون إقامة الحج مع الأمراء وإن كانوا فساقا. They see that the Hajj must be done with the princes even if they were فساق, corrupt, disobedient. حتى إن كانوا يشربون الخمر في الحج. Wait a second. Hey, حج. طب تمام يا جماعة الخير. It's not according to your feelings. This is based on deen. And the deen, the asl is that the deen is harmonious with your intellect. And there are times where you have to drop your intellect and submit. Ali radiallahu anhu said, if the deen was per just feelings and our own rationalism, then you should wipe the bottom of your khuf when you want to make wudu, because that's the part that is actually getting dust. But you wipe the top. Why? This is what we were commanded. Now we have evidences, by the way, that at the time of the Sahaba, one of the people, one of the umara, one of the people in charge, he would be leading them in salah, fajr, while he's drunk. And when they complained, he said, do you want me to make fajr 4 rak'at? If you keep complaining, I'm going to make fajr 4 rak'at. But they didn't fight against him. They didn't, because they knew, you'll see the hadith. Some are thinking, this is to show, Islam is so concerned about maintaining unity and avoiding chaos, as opposed to what you see now in the streets. Huh? To the extent that this is the level you do it. To this particular level. As long as you don't see kufr. Because, let me ask you a question, you were all shocked. Is drinking alcohol kufr or is it kufr? No, so what? We just said, even if he's the most disobedient person, if he's the Muslim, be quiet. Huh? Go with the flow. Because if you were to go against him, it's going to be disastrous.
But your prayer, it's like for the next 40 days, like if you drink or something, you can't pray for the next 40 days.
That's his business with Allah. That's his business with Allah. You may repeat the salah, but you do not go against him. You do not go against him.
Should you repeat the salah?
Huh?
Should you repeat?
I can't give you a fatwa. Let's hope you don't have anyone, you know, like that. But for example, can we apply this to Bashar right now? Bashar? That's a flat out kafir. Now we're not doing takfir. He's already been declared kafir by the ulama from way before. Because we have to understand now where the Islam comes. Where Islam comes. These are the Nusayriya. The Nusayriya are among the worst denominations. The Shia sucks already. And among the worst of them are the Nusayriya. I mean, can't you see on YouTube the people saying, La ilaha illa Bashar? This is Fir'aun, man. This is Fir'aun mentality, Fir'aun's kind of disbelief. Not the average disbelief. Fir'aun tagha. Huh? He transgressed, man. أكثر في الأرض الفساد. This was at a high level of corruption. This guy is like that guy, like that what, that guy back in the days. يعني عجيب عجيب, the level of corruption. So if he were a believer, we would have a whole other approach. We say to the people, calm down. All this revolution is going to bring nothing but calamity. Look how many people died. Look how many women were raped. Look at all that. But now they reach a point of no return. With this corrupt, evil leader, this is the point of no return. Because if they were to return, he's going to smash them for years to come. He will humiliate them as revenge. Allah knows for how long, him and his children and his brothers. He must be removed. He must be removed. And this is yani the position of the ulama in regards to this low life. But in other cases, where the leader was not a kafir, and the people revolting against him, this is not from Islam. Because it has caused chaos. Now, some say, okay, but brother, look at all the good which happens. Say, Allah brings goodness from everything for the ummah. The fact that Allah may have brought something good does not mean it was legislated in the beginning. Well, Allah brought something good from Iblis not prostrating to Adam. Allah brought a lot of good from that. So, does that mean that what Iblis did was legitimate? No, it was still wrong. But because of that, people will enter Jahannam and people will enter Jannah deserved, because they deserved it. You see? So don't let the shaitan trick you. Yes, because of these revolutions, many bad rulers will go. Maybe new good rulers will come. Maybe there will be an Islamic awakening. We say, Alhamdulillah, alladhi bi ni'mati tatummu salihat. We're happy. But it doesn't mean that becomes legitimate to fight against the rulers if they are Muslims. As we see the Aqidah of Al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. Naam. لا يقولون هذا إمام فاجر لا تقبل إمامته. They do not say this is a corrupt imam. We don't accept his imama, huh? Because he drank alcohol during Hajj. لأنهم يرون أن طاعة ولي الأمر واجبة. Because they believe, they take, يعني the deen which they follow is that obeying the ruler is obligatory. وإن كان فاسقا, even if he is corrupt, we will see the evidences. So your heart will calm down, because I see some of you already, you know, your blood circulation has increased. Time out, man. You will see the evidences will calm you down. This is not from my own mind nor from the Sheikh's mind. يش بشرط بشرط أن لا يخرجه فِسْقُهُ إِلَى الْكُفْرِ الْبَوَاحِ الَّذِي عِنْدَنَا فِيهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ بُرْهَانٌ. As long as his fisq does not reach the stage of kufr, evident kufr, blatant kufr, with which or regarding which we have a proof from Allah that this is kufr, something that is not undisputable, cannot be denied. فَهَذَا لَا طَاعَةَ لَهُ. That kind of person, there's no obedience to him, like Bashar. وَيَجِبُ أَنْ يُزَالَ عَنْ تَوَلِّي أُمُورِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And he must be removed from being the one in charge of the Muslims. لكن الفجور الذي دون الفسوق مهما بلغ فإن الولاية لا تزول به. However, disobedience, no matter how high it is, as long as it doesn't reach kufr, that does not negate that you have to have wilaya and the rulership over. He has the rulership over us. بل هي ثابتة, rather it is affirmed. والطاعة لولي الأمر واجبة في غير المعصية. Obeying the ruler is obligatory as long as it is not sin. خلافا للخوارج. Excuse me, unlike the Khawarij, the Kharijites, الذين يرون أنه لا طاعة للإمام والأمير إذا كان عاصيا. They say there is no obedience to the Amir, or the Imam, if he is disobedient. لأن من قاعدتهم أن الكبيرة تخرج من الملة. According to their fundamental principles, a major sin will exclude you from Islam. It will throw you out of Islam. And so, like I said, they see anything which they analyze and declare as kufr, and so they automatically declare kufr against the rulers. Very dangerous approach. Very dangerous approach indeed. وخلافا للرافضة الذين يقولون. And unlike the رافضة, the rejectionists, those who rejected the imama of Abu Bakr and Umar رضي الله عنهما. إنه لا إمام إلا المعصوم. They say there's no real imam. All the time we've had an imam, even now, even before, there's no imam except the ma'asum. What is ma'asum?
Sinless.
Sinless or in?
Infallible.
نعم. Infallible, infallible. I've heard both pronunciations. وإن الأمة الإسلامية منذ غاب من يزعمون أنه الإمام المنتظر. ليست على إمام ولا تبع لإمام. They claim according to them that the Islamic Ummah, ever since the Imam has gone, they awaited Imam, which they speak about, there has never been an Imam, nor anyone following Imam. بل هي تموت ميتة جاهلية من ذلك الوقت إلى اليوم ويقولون. They say there has been jahiliya. Imam has died completely from that time until today, and they say إِنَّهُ لَا إِمَامَ إِلَّا الْإِمَامَ الْمَعْصُومِ. There's no imam except the ma'asum. And of course you know their imams. They have a list of imams, and there's one pending, right? Al-Mahdi, according to them. We don't deny Al-Mahdi, but they have a special Mahdi other than ours. Theirs has been hiding in a tunnel for Allah knows how many years. Every day they go call him, you know, come out, come out. Mawlana, of course, he doesn't answer because he's not there. And they claim that he came out. I mean, the Shia men are as dumb as a doorbell. And you know, you just try to talk to them. It's just, you should see the comments they left on the lecture, wolves in sheep's clothing. You know, amazing, amazing comments. And I, of course, I don't approve them. Yeah, because they say, why do you don't approve comments? Huh? Why did you delete my comment? Are you afraid? I'm not afraid, but I'm worried for two things. You being very sinful on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Because if I were to approve this comment where you are, you know, stop. You're committing some sin, you're backbiting, you're speaking ill against the speaker. Everyone who reads it, you will get a sin. So when you say something bad, I don't approve it, I'm doing you a favor. Trust me. I'm doing you a favor, concealing your sin. Because the asal, if a Muslim does a sin that is not going to affect others, hide it for him. Don't let it be exposed. Secondly, you don't know who frequents these lectures. People with weak iman, people with lack of certainty, people who don't have right knowledge, they may read one of these deviant comments and they don't have the ability to refute it. They wind up going astray, you became the service provider. So if you have a YouTube channel, my personal advice, have all comments pending approval. What is suitable and beneficial for the Muslims, approve. And what is nonsensical, just let them die in their anger. Because they hate it. Why wasn't it approved? Because, you know, your comment was not worthy of being published on the page. I'm sorry. Say, leave something nice and we'll take it into consideration. Aywa. ولا حج ولا جهاد مع أي أمير كان. لأن الإمام لم يأتي بعد. They say there's no حج, no jihad with any أمير because the أمير has not yet come. لكن أهل السنة والجماعة يقولون نحن نرى إقامة الحج مع الأمراء. أهل السنة والجماعة say we see the establishment of حج with the أمراء سواء كانوا أبرارا أو فجارا, regardless of whether they are righteous or corrupt. وكذلك إقامة الجهاد مع الأمير. Similarly, if he were to call us for jihad, we will go with him as well. ولو كان فاسقا, even if he were corrupt. ويقيمون الجهاد مع الأمير ويقيمون الجهاد مع أمير لا يصلي معهم الجماعة بل يصلي في رحله. Even if the imam they will go with on jihad, let's say he didn't pray in jama'ah, he prayed in his tent, but he prayed, they will still go for jihad with him. Okay, because it's disobedience to abandon jama'ah, but it is not kufr. So he goes back to the state of fusuq, but he did not go to the state of kufr. Even if he said, I don't like to pray with you in jama'ah, I want to pray in my tent, khalli. Still go with him, because he still, provided that you know he prayed in his tent. Now of course back then they didn't have camera. Now they have a surveillance camera and they see whether he prayed or not. That may make the difference in the ruling. Or like some of the Sufis, they say, you know, they close their eyes or something, and he would tell you, I just came back from Haram. You know, he's all the way in Karachi. Somehow he just managed to go to Haram and come back. And some one guy said, you know, Sheikh, how come you do it all the time? He looked at him through the people. He saw that he was sleeping. When he came in, he said, I just came back from Haram. He said, I just saw you sleeping. You didn't go to Haram, didn't go anywhere. What angels took you there? And then kazzab, you know, big liars. Allah musta'an. فأهل السنة والجماعة لديهم بعد بعض نظر. It should be بعد نظر, huh? Should be بعد. أهل السنة, بعض means some. بعد is distance or far. أهل السنة والجماعة, they have, you know, they are far-sighted. Now they don't just see in front of them. They look ahead. لأن المخالفات في هذه الأمور معصية لله ورسوله. Because the violations in regards to the Amir is a disobedience to Allah's Messenger, وتجر إلى فتن عظيمة, and it will lead to tremendous tribulations. فما الذي فتح باب الفتن والقتال بين المسلمين والاختلاف الآراء إلا الخروج على الأمة. What is it that has opened the door for fitan and infighting among the Muslims and differing in opinions except when they went against the rulers? Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he was being lashed for a statement of haq, that the Quran is not created. Yet never did he go against the ruler, never did he go and say, come on, let's take this guy out, he is fighting the sunnah. Nope. And it was narrated that he would make dua for him, even though he was oppressed. Because they knew what was at stake. What was at stake is all these Muslims' lives being exposed to killing, danger, rape, and you know what happens during warfare. Do you want to have all this in your neck on Yawm al-Qiyamah? Every Muslim that dies, because you are the one who's girgir katir, they give you a microphone and start screaming on the minbar, and the next day the people revolt against the ruler smashes them and squashes them, all of them die, you're responsible, sir. And usually the ones who say this are the ones who be sitting at home drinking tea. Huh? They just talk too much and then they just take the sideline and let the people go fight and die. And they say, well, you know, I just told you, just like the shaitan. Da'autukum, fastajabtum li, I just invited you. You responded to me. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't blame me, blame yourselves. Same mentality, أعوذ بالله. So be careful of these people who incite the Shabab without any foundation. That's why you have to refer to the senior scholars. Not that you become a blind follower of anyone and you don't use your brain, but you have to understand the gravity of some issues which are beyond average people. They're just beyond average people. The ulama are the ones who deal with it. If the ulama are lying, you're not sinful. If they deceive us, Allah will hold them accountable. You're free because you are commanded, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. You have to ask the people of knowledge. If they betray us, then it's between them and Allah. But going against them and then being wrong, you have to bear the consequences. So these principles have to be understood very well by us, brothers. المهم فيرى أهل السنة والجماعة وجوب إقامة الحج والجهاد مع الأمراء وإن كانوا فجارا. He's repeating. We see that we establish with them jihad and hajj, even if with the rulers, even if they were corrupt. ولكن هذا لا يعني أن أهل السنة والجماعة لا يرون أن فعل الأمير منكر. That does not mean that أهل السنة والجماعة do not identify that action of the Amir as being evil. Not that they become blind, say no, he's good, it's all good. لا. بل يرون أنه منكر. Rather, they do acknowledge that this is evil. وأن فعل الأمير للمنكر قد يكون أشد من فعل عامة الناس. And that when an Amir does something that is munkar, it may be greater than the average people because he's looked up to, he's an Amir. So when they see him doing it, everybody wants to do it. Say, the Amir did it, what's your problem with me? لأن فعل الأمير المنكر يلزم منه زيادة على إثمه محذوران عظيمان. محذوران عظيمان. When an Amir does a sin, there are two other byproducts, two consequences that are prohibited because of that action. اقتداء الناس به وتهاونهم بهذا المنكر. The people taking him as an example and becoming lenient in regards to this munkar. الثاني أن الأمير إذا فعل المنكر سيقل في نفسه تغيير على الرعية أو تغيير مثله أو مقاربه أو مقاربه. If he himself does a sin, it will become difficult for him to prevent others from doing it, or to prevent something similar amongst others or among his relatives, because he is doing it himself. And when he is in that position to stop others, and he himself can no longer stop them because he's doing it, the calamity will affect everybody. You see the thing? لكن أهل السنة والجماعة يقولون حتى مع هذا الأمر المستلزم لهذين المحذورين أو لغيرهما. Even with these two grave issues or others, فإنه يجب علينا طاعة ولاة الأمور. It is obligatory on us to obey the rulers, وإن كانوا عصاة, even if they were disobedient. فنقيم معهم الحج والجهاد وكذلك الجمع نقيمها مع الأمراء ولو كانوا فجارا. Same thing. It doesn't look like we're going to make it to the hadith. فالأمير إذا كان يشرب الخمر مثلا ويظلم الناس بأموالهم. Let's say an Amir drinks alcohol, intoxicates, and he takes the people's wealth. نصلي خلفه الجمعة. We pray جمعة behind him. وتصح الصلاة. There's the answer. And the salah is valid. You with me? The fatwa of Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen. You have a problem? Too late.
But Imam Salah?
The fatwa of the Shaykh. I'm not here to elaborate. The fatwa of the Shaykh. حتى إن أهل السنة والجماعة يرون صحة الجمعة خلف الأمير المبتدع إذا لم تصل بدعته إلى الكفر. In fact, أهل السنة والجماعة see the imam behind a مبتدع imam, as long as his bid'ah does not reach this belief, like وحدة الوجود or something of that nature. لأنهم يرون أن الاختلاف عليه في مثل هذه الأمور شر, because they see that differing with him in regards to these matters is evil. ولكن لا يليق بالأمير الذي له إمامة الجمعة أن يفعل هذه المنكرات. However, it's not befitting for an Amir who is leading people in Jum'ah to be falling into these kinds of violations. وكذلك أيضا إقامة الأعياد مع الأمراء الذين يصلون بهم. Same thing goes for the أمراء who lead them in Salah, أبرارا كانوا أو فجارا. Whether they are righteous or فجار. By the way, there's a hadith for this, even though the Sheikh didn't mention it. The hadith which mentions that when the Imams lead you in Salah, if they make a mistake, it's upon them and your salah is sahiha. You know that already. Don't you know that an imam can lead you in salah and not have wudu? And then in the middle of the salah, he remembers. And he brings someone from behind him and he continues the salah. According to your principle, the salah is invalid. Because when he began, he didn't have wudu, but the salah is valid. In fact, if the one led you in salah when he was junub, طيب, and everybody prayed, then later on he remembered, the ulama say it is not allowed for him to come back and say, guys, by the way, the fajr, I was in junub, let's repeat the salah. Khalas. Your salah is per your niyyah. His affair is with Allah. So this drunkard person, whatever, this is between him and Allah. Your salah is sahiha. Because if you were to say the other way around, if it was a condition he has to be sober for every salah and he's drunk all the time, when do you pray? Then you will have to go against him. If you go against him, what will happen? We went to the same issue. And you understand the logic behind it? I hope so. Anyways, praise Allah, we're not in this predicament. Okay, you know we have the imam here, inshallah, is sober. Well, earlier I was the imam. I wasn't drunk. Alhamdulillah, I don't drink, I don't smoke, all that stuff, you know, khalas. Where was I? Na'am. Hey, so I think we should stop now because it's almost Isha, Ikhwan. Yeah, the adhan is 3 minutes away, inshallah. But actually, the critical thing is that we were coming to the ahadith. And we were just about to actually begin. There's more than one narration as to why we're saying what we're saying. Because I know it's a little shocking to most. Because we have been trained and let's say, brainwashed otherwise. We have been brainwashed to be reactionists. Say, oh, nope, you know, alatul, we take things in an emotional end. We don't really apply the ahadith. So inshallah ta'ala, next week we will apply the ahadith, so that will be clear. And those who will not be around next week, you can always find it on onewaytoparadise.net. Inshallah ta'ala, download the MP3 from there and get it. Zakum Allahu khairan wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Alaykum salam. Lecture this coming Monday. Abdul Majid, you never come.